Good afternoon. Good to see you again. The Justice Appropriations meeting will come to order. Rosa, please call our roll.
Chair Brennan.
Here.
Vice Chair Smith.
Here.
Ranking Member Valdez.
Present.
Representatives Beltran.
Here.
Bracy Davis.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Duggan.
Here.
Fabricio. Gottlieb.
Here.
Jacques.
Here.
Redondo.
Here.
Saroy. Snyder.
Here.
Stark. Waldron.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. A quorum being present, I want to remind everyone to ensure always that our cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or placed on that silent mode. Also, I want to ask anyone who wishes to speak before the subcommittee today to please fill out an appearance card and provide it to the staff, and we'll take care of you. So good afternoon. Welcome back to our first meeting of the actual session this year, first subcommittee meeting of the session, 2024. Our agenda today consists of three bills under consideration before us today. So I will get right to it and go ahead and get started. And lucky Representative Overdorf is number one. House Bill 401, Tracking Devices and Applications. You are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 401 is dealing with tracking devices and the realization that technology continues to advance, and with that, unfortunately, also does nefarious behavior. This actually looks at ways that, number one, it incorporates placing as well as installing a device onto a person, a vehicle, and also the use of that device. And it now makes that action to be a felony instead of a misdemeanor. One of the reasons it's important that it make that a felony is, without it being a felony, we can't issue search warrants associated with this type of crime. So that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. I see no amendments. Members, do you have any questions? Gottlieb, recognize.
Thanks, Rep. Overdorf. I appreciate the bill, and I'm in support of it. I just had one question. How would this apply to the installation of an app on my phone that I don't know is necessarily tracking me, but I use for whatever purposes? Let's just say an art app or something like that. That's a question. How, if the company is tracking me for whatever purpose? That's just an example. I don't know of an actual app or an app that does that, but how would that apply, or would it not?
So if they were to use that that material or that tracking material to actually then perpetrate a crime against you at that time, then that would be utilized as part of the evidence associated with you being tracked and therefore moving ahead there. But I appreciate I appreciate how you're looking outside of the general scope of this bill.
Okay, so it is.
You're regular.
Sorry, Chair. So so that is outside the scope of the bill, because I would ask the same question, I suppose, as it relates to like the automobile manufacturers. A lot of them have tracking apps on cars, or even car rental businesses have like a GPS on the car in case the car is stolen, but they don't necessarily notify the person using the car. And again, I support the bill. I just want to see what are some of the other implications to the bill.
The way that I would answer that is that typically when you buy a car, when you buy that maintenance, you also say you consent to X, Y, and Z associated with it. So you have a checklist that says, I accept the terms and conditions associated with this. Those terms and conditions may, in fact, say OnStar, for instance, monitors where you are, all that type of stuff. You get in an accident, that type of thing. It's part of their overall tracking. You've consented to do that. Now, if a third party was to access that material and then utilize that to track, you're going here, you're going there, that third party under this bill would face a felony.
Thank you, sir. Representative Waldron, you're recognized.
I have a question along that lines too, and maybe it's in here, but let's say you have a cell phone, you and your spouse have two cell phones, right? And one's the account holder, and there's a domestic violence situation, right? Where the one person who is not the account holder, takes off the app to have their phone tracked. But what if that spouse, the account holder, puts it back on without notifying the spouse? Would that be included in this?
Representative.
Thank you, sir. So in that case there, if there is a restraining order or if there's something else that's filed, yes, that could then be prosecutable under this. So that in that case where, say, the two spouses happen to have the same cell phone, there is some type of order given, a protection order, shall we say, the one spouse is using it to track the other against that protection order, at that point in time, yes, that material could be utilized to as a felony if they chose to do that.
Anyone else? Seeing none, we're now in public testimony. Nope. Anyone wishing to speak? We're now in debate, members. We are in debate on House Bill 401. Overdorff, you are recognized to close on House Bill 401.
Wave close.
Thank you, sir. Representative Overdorff, having closed on the bill, Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair Brannon?
Yes.
Vice Chair Smith?
Yes.
Ranking Member Valdez?
Yes.
Representatives Beltran? Bracey Davis?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Jacques?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Saroy? Snyder?
Yes.
Stark? Waldron?
Yes.
Twelve yeas, zero nays.
Thank you, members, by your vote. Thank you, Rosa. The bill is reported favorably. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, members. Thank you, Chairman.
You're welcome. Next up is CS for HB 607, retention of sexual offense evidence, by Representative Plakin. Welcome, and you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. CS for HB 607 requires a sexual assault kit collected from a non-reporting victim to be retained for a minimum of 8 years from the collection date by the medical facility that collected the kit, a certified rape crisis center with appropriate storage capabilities, or a law enforcement agency. The bill also gives direction on when DNA evidence not contained in a kit may be destroyed. The bill may have an indeterminate but likely insignificant fiscal impact. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. I see no amendments. Members, we are in questions. Any questions for Representative Plakin on CS for HB 607? Speak now, forever hold your peace. We're now, with no questions, moving on to public testimony. I have Barbara Devane with Florida Now, waving in support. Bobby Smith, Legislative Affairs Director, Florida Department of Law Enforcement, waving in support. Recognize. Sit down, then. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right. No more public testimony. We'll now move to debate. Members, anybody in debate? Representative Waldron, you're recognized.
I just want to thank you for bringing this in, Bill. I think it's going to have a good impact, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Representative Plakin, you're recognized to close on CS for HB 607.
Thank you, Chair. Wave close.
Thank you. Having wave close on the bill, Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair Brannon?
Yes.
Vice Chair Smith?
Yes.
Ranking Member Valdez?
Yes.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Gracie Davis?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Jacques?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Saroy? Snyder?
Yes.
Stark? Waldron?
Yes.
13 yeas, zero nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, this bill is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now moving to House Bill 531, traveling across county lines to commit criminal offenses, by Representative Snyder. Welcome, sir. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair, and ranking members, and fellow members of the committee. I'm here today to present traveling
update to our traveling criminal statutes, where we'll be adding grand theft and forcible felonies to the list of offenses eligible for an enhancement if you cross county lines to commit them. That is the bill.
Thank you, sir. See no amendments. Members, do you have any questions for the representative on House Bill 531? We'll start with Representative Gottlieb. I'm just aggravating.
Thank you, Chair. Rep. Snyder, you and I were talking a little bit before, and I'm just curious if you know about the effect that this bill would have, assuming that, and this could be out of order, Rep. Rommel has a bill which deals with also the theft of what he called porch piracy. So it could be an item that's worth $50 off somebody's porch then becomes an enhanced felony. So if I intend to steal something and I go out of county to do it and it's only a $50 item, I believe his bill makes that either a second or a first degree felony. Do you think that this would apply, assuming his bill is passed into Florida law? And I understand you're sort of handicapped because it's not Florida law yet. Do you think it would apply to that situation?
Recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the question. A couple of things. Of course, the drafting language that we have before us is written, you know, as the law is today, and so certainly would love to look at the language in Representative Rommel's bill. I've not heard that yet. If I would just say, though, if we're creating a new crime of porch piracy, that's not listed in this very narrow list of crimes. And so, you know, in the current statutes, just because you cross county lines to commit, you know, any offense doesn't make you eligible for the enhancement. It either has to be now grand theft or a forcible felony. So if the new charge is porch piracy, that would not be included in this narrow list.
Follow up.
Brief. Porch piracy is not a term of art. It actually is a grand theft. So let me just pivot to another question, which is in terms of fiscal, there's a double bump here, meaning that there's a bump in the level of offense and a bump in the degree of offense for an offender. Do you have any idea under this bill how many additional people will be incarcerated and what the fiscal effect will be to the state of Florida?
Recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, it's indeterminate based on the bill analysis.
That's all I have, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Representative Campbell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for bringing this bill before us, Rep. Snyder. In trying to understand the fiscal impact, what other type of crime, what other type of criminal crime activity will be picked up with this bill?
Recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question, Representative. So the only new crimes that will be added to this is grand theft and forcible felony, which, as you'll see in the staff analysis, forcible felony is a defined charge in statute, and there's a list: treason, murder, manslaughter, sexual battery, carjacking, home invasion, robbery, et cetera, that comprises the list of forcible felonies.
Follow up.
Thank you for your response. My second question is, it's almost similar to Rep. Gottlieb, but a little bit off. But I just want to know, currently right now, what are the costs of those beds that we are paying or that taxpayers are paying for those that are in prison?
I don't know that that's got anything to do with the bill, but you can take a shot at it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thank you for the question. I think that's part of, you know, the work that we're doing here in this committee as we pass the budget. That all, you know, rolls into our Department of Corrections. I don't know what that total is off the top of my head, but happy to follow up with you and get you those specific figures.
One more? Yeah, I mean, I didn't mean you could only have one or more.
Yeah, I got it. This is my last question.
I got you.
Anyway. And thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your response, and I'm looking forward to following up with you. And given that the prosecutorial discretion. How does your bill ensure it's applied uniformly to everyone?
Recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the question, Representative. It all goes back to, and again, I'm not a law enforcement officer or a prosecutor, but anytime a charge is brought forward against someone, we know that they are innocent until proven guilty, and it's up to the state to bring forward, you know, to prove the facts of each specific case, and ultimately, you know, the fairness lies within the jury to make sure that a fair verdict is rendered.
Good. Okay. Anyone else? No one? Public testimony? Matt Dunnigan with the Florida Sheriff's Association is waving in support. Anybody else? You're recognized.
I apologize. I've been here too long.
It may be us. I'm just aggravating you while I go. You're certainly well recognized to go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First off, Florida Smart Justice wants to thank the sponsor of this bill because this is an issue that we've long been involved in about criminals that are going across county lines in order to commit crimes. Just want to make two quick statements. Number one, the cost in our prison system is about $3 billion overall, give or take a couple hundred million. So it's an expensive proposition. But what's important about this bill, why it's so important to us in Smart Justice, and should be for you as well, is that many of the violent felons that end up in prison start with doing burglary and felons and lower-level felonies. So if we catch them at the right time, we can help them, we can give them services, and we can make sure that they don't come back. But if we don't do what needs to be done, and if we don't put them in a place where they're safe from themselves and safe for us while they're in prison, then what's going to happen is they're going to escalate. And as they escalate, they become more violent. So this is exactly the kind of bill that Smart Justice supports. And so thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, just one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm just giving him more time because we hoodooed him well, I guess.
and thank you for coming up and testifying today. So you said it's about $3 billion. So what would that break down to per cost per bit?
Do you know that?
No, sir, I don't know that.
Good try.
Can I ask my follow-up? Yeah, I have another one.
Real quick.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. And so do you, as far, you know, with the information that you presented, do you know who is going to bear the burden of these costs for those on longer sentences?
You're recognized.
Sure. Well, the public's going to, and the public should, because we need to be protected from people that are criminals, and they need to be protected among themselves. Prison may be the appropriate place to be. But again, remember, this is a precursor crime. And so ultimately, if we don't resolve it at this level, then we're going to face some more serious consequences later on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, members, we're now in debate. Anybody in debate on Representative Snyder's HB 531? Oh, one more? Okay.
I'll fill another one.
We don't see it, but you're more than welcome. Go ahead.
Okay, I have the PDF, but I'll just write it out real quick.
No problem.
Jonathan Weber, I'm just with SPLC Action Fund. We were just waiving our time in opposition today. We do appreciate your consideration. Thank you so much, and we'll hopefully have more conversations down the road. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Come forward and just bring it as you go.
Hi, my name is Olivia Weinberger, and I'm the director of the Sarasota Prisoner Outreach Project, and I just learned about this bill today. And what I would like to say is that I live in Sarasota County, and I just moved. And it turns out that I have a Sarasota address, but my apartment, my condo, is actually in Manatee County. I had no idea. So this issue of changing the sanction for a crime based on a county line seems like it's going to increase the number of people in prison without really changing anything about why someone's stealing and what happens to them. So, I mean, people have always gone from poorer neighborhoods to richer neighborhoods to steal, right? So it's not like that essential problem that this bill is trying to cure has changed at all at any time in history. It's just now you're saying that some random line is going to increase the sanctions imposed on someone, and it's a completely, in my opinion, arbitrary distinction because nobody even knows where the county lines are. And I heard earlier on this bill, or companion, that people think that by doing this bill, you will disincentivize these type of crimes. But somebody who's going to someone's house to steal an Amazon package, if you would address mental illness and substance abuse, that might curb that kind of crime. But what happens in this room is completely unknown to the people who are stealing, you know, and doing other kinds of retail theft, homes and businesses. So it's not really going to curb theft at all. It's just going to, in a somewhat arbitrary manner, increase the sanctions on crimes that are already crimes in the state and already have a set of sanctions that have been designated for them. Thank you, and I very much appreciate the opportunity
Margie,
to speak.
Could y'all get her sheet? Thank you for your comments. Anyone else in public testimony? Okay. Now in debate. Representative Valdez, I was looked over one time to make sure you were here today.
Kind of quiet, huh?
Go ahead.
It's a new year, right?
You're recognized. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Happy New Year to everyone. You know, Representative Snyder, I had an opportunity to review the bill and think about it last night. And in looking at the staff analysis, you know, this describes this bill as having a positive indeterminate impact on jail and prison beds. And we've had Secretary Dixon come before us to testify before us, stating the financial struggles that they're having to keep beds and to improve our dilapidated buildings, if you will. So for me, prison is not a safe place. That is not a safe place at all. I visited many prisons, and it's not a safe place. So to say to think that prison is a safe place for folks is, I would like to see us work towards, as our speaker came up and said, to find out what the root cause is for these behaviors and eradicate them at the root level, if you will, and help them to the point of Cross County. I mean, it's hard to imagine someone innocently might be riding with someone and cross a line, and then that other someone does a stupid crime, and that individual that had no idea of what was going to happen is now in a huge pickle because of somebody else's actions. I find that to be egregious. I find that to be unfair. I don't think that it's, we need to think about this a little bit more, because I think that the premises of the bill is to try and really deter these individuals that are doing these really big crimes, right? That they're using social media maybe to gather up a group of folks that want to do this and then let's go. That's a different story. I'm thinking about just regular everyday people that just gonna go to Georgia for, I don't know, Six Flags. And on the way, we stop at a Wawa, and all I know is like, oh man, what's up? And we're stuck, right? So I'm really concerned. I don't know that we have really paid a little bit of more thoughtfulness into the bill and the ramifications that it will have. And we are in the Appropriations Committee, so therefore I'm really concerned about the cost of how many extra beds. And I'm not in the position to continue to support our private prisons. Our private prisons have a threshold that they must keep a X amount of percentages of incarcerated constituents in there. So there's a lot more work to do in order to enhance and rebuild the existing buildings that we have, and try not to put more people in jail. Let's try and find what the root causes are. Start early in school, start early with kids, and prepare those interventions and find out what is really causing these kids and these youngsters to do the things that they're doing now. If they're an adult, then they, you know, it's a different story. You know, but a lot of these kids are young kids, young adults that are going in there and doing maybe these acts. So I'm really concerned. Today I'll be down on the bill because of my concerns. And hopefully as the bill progresses, if willing to work with you on making some changes on this, if you're amenable to them, and as it goes through its processes, then, you know, we might be able to support it. But I really like for us to really look a little bit more deeper into these laws that we're trying to put forth and really looking at the ramifications of how it's going to affect your everyday citizen is out there doing the good stuff, going to work, doing the right things, and they're just the wrong time at the, you know, and they get caught up in some BS. So I think that, yeah, those are my comments for today.
Ranking Member, you got going. Representative Campbell, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Rep. Steiner, thank you for coming to me about your bill. And speaking to me about it, there were the things that you brought up were very concerning. It has piqued my interest. Like, I'm not well versed into what is going on, and so I look forward to speaking with you more on what you're seeing to accomplish with this bill. Learning about felony loan gangs, I never heard that term. But as I keep learning, as I sit this seat, I keep learning more about different terms and different things that are going on. And so I'm looking forward to talking to you about that. But you know, since we're here and we're talking about the fiscal impact, I'm kind of like my colleague, Rep. Valdez, and Ranking Member Valdez, on the cost that we're seeing here. And just doing a search and looking up what Floridians or what's costing Floridians to operate some of these prison beds. The average cost for operating costs in these is $30,000, and we're talking about that's just the average. We're not even talking about if they're impacted medically or if they're having mental issues or any other extra things that individual might be having that the prison may need to take care of. And so I'm concerned that the bill brought before us is just going to really, really drive up the cost on what we're paying now. And right now, as we see here, you know, our Floridians are strapped. You know, we're seeing high costs in property insurance. We're seeing inflation. And so I'm coming from with that concern, and I want to know more how this would roll out. The other thing is that has me against this bill as well is that, you know, I think this bill leaves too much room for question, too much room for error, human error. And when I say that, I think of cases like petty theft. It addresses petty theft in there. And I understand that, you know, petty theft happens. It occurs. In no way or form do I excuse the crime. But at the same time, if an individual is doing petty theft based off of necessity, based off of that they don't have a place to live and they need something to eat, and they do it in one store, and then they go cross county line and do it in another store, that now compounds the fact that we have this system that's keeping holding them down instead of them helping to rise and get to a level of humanity that we tend to talk about here in the legislature. And so, with that being said, it just derives too much room for discretion. For proceed implicit bias when they go before the courts. And so I'm concerned about that piece, but I'm gonna jump off ship right there, so jump off my soapbox about that. But I do want to have further conversations about this issue, about this matter, and learning what you're seeing from your constituents, from your area, and I explain to you what I'm seeing from my area and what's occurring from my district, and learning how does that, how can we make this bill a better bill, so that it's very impactful in what you're trying to target in the felony lane or loan gang, whatever they call themselves. So I appreciate it. Thank you. I look forward to our conversations.
Thank you, sir. Representative Gottlieb.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Snyder, so I have some concerns that I don't think were addressed in the bill or the analysis. And I don't know that there's a way to quantify them in terms of the monetary significance. But number one, I don't think there's a carve out for a first-time offender. So what we're doing is for a first-time offender who might be able to get a youthful offender sanction, might be able to get a withheld adjudication, depending on the reclassification of an offense, we're making it a higher degree. So that we all understand the fiscal impact of that, that individual might be able to afford an attorney at a third-degree felony, whereas at a second-degree felony, when the costs are exponentially higher, they can't. So number one, the case languishes in the court system a little bit longer and also is perhaps a burden on the state attorney's office and the public defender's office. Additionally, I think that this may make it harder to prosecute certain cases because on certain offenses, now the state attorney doesn't just have to prove the intent to commit the crime. They also have to prove the intent to cross county lines to commit the crime. Depending on how that is done, and this is in all earnestness, it might be making it more difficult for law enforcement. Depending on how that's done in a verdict form, you could wind up with a not guilty because both intents can't be proven. So it may have to be that it has to be an interrogatory separate and apart from the finding of guilt. So you find the person guilty of committing the crime, let's say theft, and then an interrogatory questioning, did they intend to commit the crime by crossing county lines? Or you could do it as a lesser included offense. So I think there's that also indeterminate expense, what that's gonna do to the judicial system and to appeals, and how we as trial lawyers figure that out. I suspect this bill will likely pass through judiciary, so even though I may still be a no vote, I'll work with you to help try to make it better and figure that out. But I think that that's very problematic from a fiscal standpoint to the cost of the judicial system, which I don't think that we have truly analyzed. And then my third and final point is, assuming that Rommel's bill passes, there's this concept that we have in the law that says bills must be read in pari materia, meaning together. And I think that there is an effect to both bills that we're not looking at here that could really classify the theft of a $50 T-shirt into perhaps a first-degree felony for a first-time offender. And that's, I don't think, what you're intending, and clearly problematic because many of these offenders are youthful offenders who are being used by adults to commit crimes across county lines because they know that the youthful offender, a young offender, gets off a lot easier. And that's related to auto theft or package theft, which is a huge, huge, huge industry. It's an epidemic, no doubt, and I share in your concerns for trying to resolve it. I'm not sure that this is the correct product, and I have the concerns that I expressed. So I'm still a no vote, but might be able to get there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Representative Beltran, you're next.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Rep. Snyder, for this good bill. I'm going to support the bill, but I do want to address some concerns that were expressed by the public, mainly in the notion that it's somehow unfair to punish somebody differently based upon where they moved and for what purpose. Obviously, somebody who moves from jurisdiction to jurisdiction is attempting to evade detection or evade apprehension. They're less likely to be recognized in a neighboring county. It's going to be harder for the authorities to track them down. And so with a decreased ability for law enforcement to capture that person or to apprehend and charge that person is going to come a lower deterrent to that person with the same punishment, which is why the punishment has to be higher if it's going to be harder to prosecute them. And it's not unfair and it's not unusual. All you have to do is look at federal criminal law. Look at federal criminal law. You look at drug prosecutions, gun prosecutions, prosecutions involving offenses involving persons. You move those across a state border, and you've gone from a relatively lenient, for the most part, state prosecution to a much more severe federal prosecution. You can get a 10-year mandatory minimum consecutive if you discharge a firearm that's moved in interstate commerce. You can get up to 25 years if you've used that for certain felonies or if you're a repeat offender. So there are massive penalties that people invoke all the time based upon moving across what somebody called an imaginary line. And I suppose it is an imaginary line, but we have to draw lines somewhere, and that's where the lines are. And those offenses do accrue increased penalties. So there's a whole body of federal law that says there's no mens rea as to what are called jurisdictional facts. That is that you move from Manatee to Sarasota. And everyone knows that. I counseled a client who was in Sarasota. Sarasota passed a ban on their business. They moved into the Sarasota in Manatee County. They had their business there. Later on, Manatee County tried to make their business illegal, and I beat that too. But the point is everyone knows that. You know, if you're in that part of North Sarasota, that's in Manatee County. There are businesses who move there to evade. And Rep. Fabrizio is looking at me. He knows what I'm talking about. But so that happens all the time. People know where they are. I think these people are sophisticated offenders. And there's, what is mens rea? That's what somebody was describing. They said they didn't know where they are. Mens rea is guilty mind. Nothing more, nothing less. If you're stealing, you know you have a guilty mind, whether you're in Manatee County or Sarasota County or Orange County. You have the guilty mind. The question is what the penalty is going to be. And you know you're not doing the right thing. You just don't know where you're going if we're actually believing that offender. I support this bill. I've supported similar legislation when we had the burglary bill a couple of years ago. So there's no reason this is different, and there's no reason it's unfair. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Representative Jocks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Snyder, for this great bill that adds grand theft and forcible felonies to enhanced penalties when you cross county lines. I truly appreciate you doing that because it's totally wrong. As my colleague, Representative Beltran, mentioned, I mean, the fact that you're crossing county lines, it's a fact that you're probably trying to evade detection and so forth, and it's such a violation to go in a community, another community, and disturb the peace and do something so terrible. I will also just kind of highlight, you know, my colleagues in the minority party. They're talking about the fiscal impact. I'm hearing a lot about the fiscal impact. What's it going to cost, you know, to incarcerate all these new people, all these new lawbreakers? All of a sudden, we have some new fiscal conservatives in the House. But here's the matter. The matter is this: whatever it costs, the cost will be there. And I will work with you, Mr. Chair, and I'm sure this House will make sure that the funding is available to keep these individuals incarcerated, to make sure that the beds are available, because that's where they deserve to be. They deserve to be behind bars and in the Department of Corrections. And with all due respect to the ranking member, and I really do mean this because I have a lot of respect for you, ranking member. We worked together well on some initiatives. The fact that, you know, prisons, the statement was made, prisons are unsafe. Our prisons are unsafe. Now, I've toured many of our prisons. And Secretary Dixon does an amazing job in making sure to keep a very safe environment. And mind you, prison is supposed to suck, right? It's punitive, it's punishment. And even though it's supposed to suck, this secretary goes above and beyond to make sure that it is safe for all involved, the people who work there as well as the incarcerated. So I take issue with that. Additionally, if it doesn't meet the safety standards of the ranking member, the fact of the matter is our communities are safer with these individuals who are behind bars. Our community is safer with these individuals who are crossing county lines to commit grand theft and commit forcible felonies that are very, very serious and endanger the law-abiding citizens here in the state of Florida. And with that, I urge my colleagues to be up on this great bill.
Thank you, sir. I'll give you about 15 seconds.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And one thing you'll learn about Representative Valdez is that she is a conservative when it comes to spending. You will often hear me talk about in cases of how we're spending money and where it's going to and for what purpose. So it's not all of a sudden that you now have Democrats who have conservative views on actual spending. And yes, I am concerned because the secretary, and I've given the secretary oftentimes great kudos for the things that he's attempting to do. But I also know that when I visit the prisons, I don't go announced. I go unannounced, just like I visited my schools in my district. And before I came to the state house, my school district had no D's or F's. Why? Because I would show up unannounced. They knew that there was an expectation. And that's the style that I have when it comes to
hey, let's bring our, it for a landing because we're about traveling across county lines to commit crime, not schools. So I'm not trying to cut you off.
I got you. I got
but,
you.
But I am, but I'm not. But
that we, have, we have our time for being in this meeting is until 3:30 in the afternoon. So I think that this is something not that I plan on debating or responding to Representative Joggs for this long, but the thing is that there's no reason for us to rush at all on this particular conversation or in any conversation that we have when it comes to making laws that affect all Floridians. So having said that, I have given Secretary Dixon his accolades many times. And when I go visit these prisons, I go unannounced specifically to just see what the real deal. And I agree, prison is supposed to suck. It's not supposed to be a place where I want to go to. But by the same token, it's not a safe place. It's not. When you look at so many of the different things that are going on in our prisons and you get those reports, right now I'm not going to discuss about what's going on in Sumter County. I'm not going to tell you what happened in Gulf. Okay, and it's things that unfortunately, they're happening, and they're not safe places. So what I'm thinking about, you guys are thinking about the really big, heavy hitters, the guys that are really, really doing these bad crimes. But I'm not looking at those. Those individuals deserve to be there, absolutely. I'm thinking about that one-time offender that gets caught in the description that I said, that I gave you, which was one's riding with someone, and that other individual is driving, or I'm driving, or somebody was stopped somewhere, and they create a, and they commit a crime, I'm already looped into it, or that individual is looped into it, and they had nothing to do with it, right? So we're not thinking, you were thinking about getting these big guys. I get it. But we're not thinking about people that don't do these things, that might get caught up in a stupid situation because of just circumstances where they're at. So When I look at policies, I look at how it's going to impact from the most of us and the least of us. I look at it from a rural perspective, and I look at it from a local perspective in my district. Try to look at it from a rural perspective, urban perspective, suburban perspective. Because again, as a state legislator, I'm not just here legislating for Hillsborough County. I'm legislating for all 67 counties and all Floridians. So I look at all that. I'm just not narrow-minded just looking at what this one issue is going to be. No, because our laws that we create have bad ramifications for good people that are trying to do something. They just get caught up in stuff. I respect the fact of what trying to get these individuals that are really doing these hardcore crimes. Absolutely, Rep. Snyder, let's get them. Let's get them, and let's keep our community safe. But by the same token, let's not brush everyone with the same paint, coat of paint. And say that it's going to be that way, and that everyone that does a mistake for the first time is just a criminal for life. No, let's find out what the root causes of that problem is. What's going on? Let's help people. Not immediately.
We're getting
kind
of broad.
Throw up throw them in the towel.
You've had a lot of time. Thank you. I'm glad you got cranked up today. And I don't mean that in an ugly way, but I will leave you with this in a lighthearted statement. When you mentioned crossing state lines a while ago, I guess this is my debate. I live in a county that borders a state line. I think I live about 4 miles from the Georgia border. I wouldn't recommend going across the state line and committing a crime because their rules are different up there. It used to, their jail was condemned, and when folks went 4 miles across the state line, they got locked up. They didn't get locked up in Folkestone, Georgia, in Charlton County. They got locked up in Hayhira, Georgia, somewhere, and their mom and daddy was awful upset. They had to drive 100 miles to go visit them. So there are ramifications to crossing, as Rep. Beltran said, these imaginary lines. So thank you all for the lively debate. We'll wind it up there, and You're welcome to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members, for the lively discussion. And as always, I look forward to continuing that, as well as members of the public. I did see some proposed amendment language yesterday that we are reviewing, and we'll continue the conversation. Do want to touch on a few quick things. Representative Gottlieb, you know, again, I so appreciate your experience. It is completely different than mine, and you know the defense world probably better than anybody up here. And in a way, I think we agree that with this enhancement, it is supposed to be difficult on purpose. We do want, and we've seen already in some of the cases where the enhancement has been applied to burglary, you know, this is not just the criminal who woke up and realized they were in the wrong county that we're going after. And in fact, part of the language in there is very clear that the intentionality of the travel, it's not that you were just in a county outside of your residence. The state has to prove you specifically traveled to go commit that crime. And there's examples of individuals, and again, part of that fact pattern is looking up where individuals have been scoping out vulnerable communities, where they've made that pre-planning, where law enforcement has tracked and are really able to prove that the reason they are traveling is to go prey on these vulnerable communities. So with that, this is not new language on how the statute works. It's just new crimes that, again, law enforcement will tell you the spike in this activity and in this behavior is real. So, again, appreciate the conversation. Hope to have your favorable support this afternoon. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I close.
Thank you, Rep. Snyder. Having closed on the bill, Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair Brannon?
Yes.
Vice Chair Smith?
Yes.
Ranking Member Valdez?
No.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Gracie Davis?
No.
Campbell?
No.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
No.
Jacques?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Saroy? Snyder?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Nine yeas, four nays.
Thank you, Rosa. By your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Members, as always, thank you for your participation. And if you have any questions as we move forward in this process, don't hesitate to contact me or Adam or any of the staff. This concludes our agenda for today, and Representative Fabricio moves we rise. Without objection, this meeting is adjourned.